Hi, friends. Welcome to the Dean Blundell Show podcast. My name is Dean, and we are broadcasting live from a fucking war zone, which is really cool. Not really a war zone, but it's my new house. Just moved, so it's a fucking mess, which is great because it's reflective of my entire life. Anyway, great to have you here. This is our first maiden voyage of the podcast, the DeanBlundell.com podcast. You can get us on Facebook at DeanBlundell.com, D-O-T. At it's Dean Blundell on YouTube, hashtag, or is it just slash DeanTube? This is new to me, too. Don't pretend like I'm fucking good at this yet, because I'm not. It's my first one, with all the funny graphics. Or just go to DeanBlundell.com, where you can see the stream live as well. And Mob Crush, whatever the fuck that is. Anyway, nice day today. It's been fucking crazy getting to this point with moving and trying to get everybody online and trying to get everybody involved and bringing Twitch to the platform and blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to stop talking. And what we're going to do is bring in our two first guests. These are our two first guests, and they're both from Vancouver because we needed to go all the way to the left coast for guests because no one wanted to come on here. Just kidding. We've got Todd Hancock from ToddHancock.com, the host of the Toddcast podcast, part of DeanBlundell.com, and of course, his own website, which is huge, music, news, sports, a little entertainment, or a lot of entertainment and a little bit of sports. But Todd is a 25-year radio veteran. He's also a teacher of young minds, which is scary enough. Please welcome Todd Hancock. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Good to see you.
Loving that you've started off with setting the bar so high with me and Abby.
Yeah. Dude, I had to get two of the best podcasters, talkers I could find, and you guys are the best, and you and I have stiffed, well, I've stiffed you like four times for podcasts, but I think we've been in a purple haze for the past few months because of the pandemic, so I'll give me a pass.
It's been an odd three, 4 months, let's say.
Yeah, weird. Abby Simpson, there she is. Hi, Abby. How are you? Abby Simpson.
I'm all right.
At Abby
I'm
the tweet.
Okay.
I'm doing okay. Great to see you. Now, Abby is a published author. You can check her out at Abby the tweet, at Abby the tweet on Twitter. She is incredibly bright. She's a poli-sci major. She's also interested in ornithology and a little genealogy on the side.
I'm a poli-sci grad, actually.
Oh,
I have to big that up. It took me 8 years to get that degree.
So you should be like a poli-sci doctor?
No. I don't have a PhD. I have no interest and can't afford
going back to
school.
Yeah. So how's Vancouver right now for both? Because right here it's sunny. It's been humid as fuck for the past few days. I have no idea what Vancouver's like because we don't care about that part of the world. So what's it like there today? How is Vancouver?
Beautiful. There's not a cloud in the sky right now.
No?
Best city in the world, man.
Yeah. Except for the 8 months of winter rain. I mean, what?
Do you get winter? So, because I used to live in Abbotsford, which is not too far from Vancouver. And what depressed me was the fact that nothing ever got extreme, right? Like, when you live out west, you're totally cool with, one day in September or October, it's like 23. And the next day, there's 3 feet of snow and it's minus 20.
That's Calgary, isn't it?
Well, it's Calgary. It's Edmonton. It happens all over like when you get to the Barren Prairies, the prairies that Jesus Christ forgot about, the Saskatchewans and the Manitobas, and then just a little bit of Ontario. Yeah, that doesn't happen as much. But you guys don't get the extreme weather, which excites me to this point. It really does. I think that's why old people move out there. A lot of old people, like the Florida of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
God, I mean,
no, I mean, what do they say about Vancouver Island? It's the home of the newlywed and the nearly dead.
Yeah.
Is that what they say about Vancouver Island?
Actually, so I used to work with insurance brokers and they said it. They liked them, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure they would. Yeah, for sure they would.
But, I mean, it rains. It just rains a ton and you don't get the extremes, but when it just doesn't stop raining and it's gray for 8 months, you do start to notice that it's not an extreme, but it is extremely depressing.
Just the constant gray. Is it gray out there today? Is it shit out there? Sun's beautiful here.
Well, it's not bad today. It's pretty nice.
It's nicer today. It's nicer here. It's probably nicer here.
We've had a decent year, because we've been stuck inside with quarantine, so the weather's been great.
is it is it weird now? Like, you guys, everybody's gone through quarantine, and we've got lots of stuff to get to. We've got quarantine stuff to get to. We've got chicken nuggets to get to. We've got Jacob Blake being shot in the back, and how some people think that's not a bad thing to get to. Mostly mouth breathers and stuff. We've got, I don't know if you guys know this, the American right's coming after us big time, coming after me big time. Yeah. Yeah. American Nazis are coming after me big time right now because I just don't like Donald Trump. And so, so I've got a bunch of stuff to read about all kinds of people who have stood up for racism. And can you have a different opinion at this point in time? Like, after everything that we've said, George Floyd, Jacob Blake, what astounds me is that people, Todd, still have like an opinion other than that what happened was racist. Like there, you see a guy get shot in the back seven times. I don't care what happened or the precursor to that. And I still see tweets from people going, "Yeah, you don't know how bad of a guy that guy was. Yeah, you don't know what happened before that." So I'd love to get your thoughts, and then Abby will go to you. Todd.
Well, my thoughts are, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinions, and those people are wrong that are saying that. straight up, like, that's just so messed up on so many levels that I don't even know where to begin and where to stop. Mm-hmm. Like, people that would support that shit are just, there's something not right up there.
When you say support that shit, meaning because I have a hard time separating the two in my head, because if you go through what we saw, if you go through him getting shot in the back seven times, and I have a different opinion on it being police brutality and of course racism, but which it was. But if you go through it, there's an argument to be made that, you know, if we look at exactly what happened, he was charged with third degree assault for assaulting someone. That's what they were breaking up, right? That's the fight that the police were called to. Doesn't mean he should be shot in the back seven times. Absolutely not. But where do you draw the line between, you know, this is exactly what happened and here's what should have happened, and because this is the difference. This is the difference maker between the two sides, right? The two sides are saying, you know, he was a criminal. Doesn't matter the color of his skin, which it does, because we all know. And then the other side is saying it's just another black life lost, right? So where do you draw the line between the two, Abby?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't even start to draw a line towards the "it's just another black life lost" camp. That to me is garbage and bullshit.
Right.
I think
how that's not an excessive use of force is beyond me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Seven times? Like, yeah, even absolutely. One time would be too much.
And the fact that the Kenosha, Wisconsin police force do not have to wear body cams means that it gets to be their word against everybody else's, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that is absolutely asinine. I think we're at a point now in society where wearing a body cam shouldn't even be a controversial thing, like, at all. If you are good cops, if you are a good force, if you are a good chief, there should be absolutely zero reason why you would say, "Oh no, but my cops don't need to wear body cams." Actually, right. They should, because this covers your ass too.
Totally.
Yeah, and you know what? That was the other part. There are a bunch of different moving parts to this. And let me just put it on Front Street, so I don't want people saying, "Dean, you're racist." But I want to get this out there that it absolutely was a sign of police brutality against another black person, another person of color. Which falls into the category of racism. And then you have to add the brutality on top of that. As Todd said, you know, it's guns drawn, guy isn't armed, I get it. But you can't ignore, like, it wasn't tased in the back once. It wasn't shot in the shoulder blade. It wasn't shot in the leg. They shot him in the back literally 40 times. Literally Seven times. We're going to take a little bit of
like,
a break.
Isn't it amazing that they don't... Why wouldn't they shoot him in the leg if they're going to shoot the guy?
Kneecap him?
Why does it... Yeah, why does it got to be...
That's the thing. It's because they didn't have any control over the actual situation, right? And you play the tape backwards, especially if you've seen it. And I have two opinions to this, too. It's like... You watch a guy get shot in the back once, and I've never seen it before. I saw that. I've never seen something like that before in my life. And you try to reason because, you know, we've been brought up with this police force mentality, right? Where the police are the ones that have the final solution. And so I've appreciated and thank the police for the provision and the protection that they give us on a daily basis. I get it. I'm a fan of our police force here in York Region. I've got lots of friends that work for the police force in York Region. And the point isn't whether or not it's harder for the police to do their job. To me, the point is whether or not the police have implicit bias. Whether or not the police know that what they're doing, whether or not they're instantly scared of a black man who is assaulting a woman on the side of the road. And that's why those guns came out. So in essence, is that not just implicit racism? Isn't that just something that is, you know, you they can say they're not racist or never spoken racist terms, these people that shot the guy. But is that not just racism in itself when they've got a gun drawn on a black guy and then they shoot him seven times in the back?
If your fears are manufactured based on the color of somebody else's skin and the stereotypes you grew up with that breed that fear, then yeah, you're a closet racist and it's time to check yourself.
Mm-hmm. How many of you guys did that? Did anybody get inflective or reflective over this Black Lives Matter movement? Did you guys get reflective over the whole thing? Because I think it's easy for us to say we're not racist, right?
Well,
until you look.
I'm not racist. I mean, that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of, you know, I've been thinking about it more than ever before, obviously, like everybody else. I've unfollowed people. I've unfriended people on Facebook and Twitter and that.
Why?
Well, for some comments, you know, comments about, you know, like we're just saying that, you know, oh, maybe, you know, you don't know what it was before. And, you know, the guy had a prior record or just stupid shit where you're like, dude, really? Mm-hmm. Fuck, if that's how you feel, like, I'm embarrassed that you're in my friend list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. Like, I'm almost 50 years old, man. I don't want that shit in my life. You know what I mean? So. You trim that shit out of your life if it's not something that you want. I can't grasp that. I wasn't taught that as a kid to you know, treat somebody differently because their skin's a different color than mine.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was told the opposite. Embrace everybody, love everybody. Their actions are what you should, you know, what people do and how they react to you, or you know what I mean, like it's inherently human to love.
Mm-hmm.
and that's what I was taught as a kid, and that's what I teach my kids. So I don't know, it's I'm happy that it's that we're where we are and we're thinking about it, and it's in the news and people are, you know, hopefully changing.
Yeah. And I asked that question because I had to do, it was after George Floyd, and I'm like, fuck, am I racist somewhere in here? Like, am I, and cause I know I'm not, I know I'm, right. I've absolutely stood up for equality across the board when it comes to race, religion, and sexual preference, despite what some people have said. That is, and it still is one of those things that was so big that I thought about when I was younger. It's just so big, you know, racism is such a big thing. And now we're trying to tackle racism. And as a white guy, I believe two things. A, I don't have an opinion that actually matters in the black community, which I don't, other than amplifying their voices. That's it. The other thing that I think is, And this was the dangerous part of it. I'm probably going to get in shit for fucking saying this, but like, I had to really think about if I saw four black guys walking down the street on one side and four white guys walking down the street on the other side, what side of the street would I choose to walk on? Like, that was how I had to figure out whether or not I had some sort of implicit bias, and not like a choose thing, but naturally speaking, would I assess how they looked from a socioeconomic perspective? Like, okay, which one of those guys looks like they're poor? Those guys would be more desperate. I'm going to walk on the other side of the street as the group of people that are having a real issue with financials. Except the kind of people that are walking towards you, on a dark. Night, you're out for a walk, and no matter the color of their skin, and I had to challenge myself to figure out whether or not I was racist, implicitly, not outwardly racist. Nobody admits to or wants to be outwardly racist. Fuck, even the racists are saying they're not racist. Like, that's the best part of the KKK, right? The KKK is like, we're not racist, we just love white people, and I'm like, that in fucking itself is racist. So it's a different kind of. It's a different time for someone like me, because I had no idea whether or not I was allowed to be part of this movement. You know what I mean? From a white guy perspective, because guys like me outwardly and guys like you, whether or not we're racist, are really the vanguard of the problem. Like, this is if someone wants to go and look at who started colonialism and why colonialism was the way it was and is the way it is and the police states that we have. It's just a bunch of white dudes that decided that this is the way the world is going to work, right? So that's been the hard part.
Them and their guns.
Yeah, them and their guns. But that's been the hard part, Abby, is like just admitting that I had to really figure out whether or not I had some fucking racist DNA in my body somewhere that didn't comport with the shit that was coming out of my mouth. And that was hard. That's like fucking inventory. You got to take it, right?
Yeah, most people won't do that.
No.
I mean, I only cross the street for like a murder of crows. If I see a bunch of crows just pecking away on the sidewalk, I will straight up cross the street
just to see
and
what
not
it
walk
is.
Through them. Just honestly, like, crows are the only thing I cross the street for, and I am not ashamed to admit that at all. But I mean, with
crows
all
are fucking gross. Crows are the grossest of all the fucking birds.
There's a lot of crows out here as well. Like, there's just tons. But
I'd rather a pigeon than a crow.
Pardon?
I'd rather yeah, but I'd rather a pigeon than a crow. Like, if someone said you have to be terrorized by one bird, it's got to be the pigeon, not the crow. The crow terrifies
me. Honestly, there are a couple pigeons that look like they've bred with crows. It's pretty creepy out here. But one of the reflective things that I have done recently with, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement coming back to the fore was recognize that a lot of people online were saying, oh, but, you know, at least we're in Canada where it's better here. And that was a lot of white Canadians sort of bigging themselves up, you know, bigging up our nationalism and our multiculturalism and our diversity is our strength messaging and all of that, right? So we buy into all of that without really listening to people of color who live in the cities who say, no, we get racially profiled by the cops here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And people who live on First Nations reservations, we all have a lot of inherent bias built in, whether we choose to admit it or say it out loud or not, about First Nations communities and alcoholism and things like that. We all do.
Yeah, big
so
time.
When I hear people kind of going, well, Canada's better off than the United States, I'm like, check yourself. Because that is not.
Oh, we're fucking totally racist. This is the further west you go, and it's kind of stops at like the BC Alberta border, Todd. But the further west you go, the more racist everybody is. It's a fact. I've lived in Calgary. I've lived in St. Paul. I've lived in Edmonton. I've lived in Rosetown, Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Listen, there are a lot more racist people out west. A lot. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it stops at usually BC. But that's the thing, is that nobody, and here's the other part that I fucking love, and we'll get into people's words in a second. The other part that I love is when people go, Canada isn't that racist. We're not that racist. But racism's racism, and we have systematic racism. So we are, mm-hmm. right? Like that. How do you talk to someone that says we're not as racist as America, so we don't have that much of a problem, so we can continue to act like this towards those people?
It's tough to reason with them.
Isn't
they don't
it?
Like to be told. That's my experience anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody does. No. One of the things that came out of this whole thing too is sports is a protest, and Abby did a great post on that at deanblundell.com. If you go to deanblundell.com, you can check it out. And I was fascinated by it because, you know, we've seen sports and we've seen the NBA and the NHL. NHL lagged a little bit. Major League Baseball basically tell professional sports, we're going to stop for a couple of days to show you how much scrote we have in this. We're going to stop for a couple of days to show you that we actually support Black Lives Matter. And I loved your take on it, Abby. And if you go to deanblundell.com, you can check out Abby's post. It's fantastic. The title of the post is "The Politics of Pro Sports. This is not new, folks." Why did you write this? What made you get into this? Because I fucking loved it.
Because, I mean, I'm just tired. I'm so tired of listening and seeing tweets and, like, hearing commentators talking about how, you know, Colin Kaepernick ruined sports. Pro sports is, like, you know, nothing anymore because you've got all of this, like, lefty propagandist political bullshit. And I'm tired of it because Colin Kaepernick is not the first guy to ever use his athletic platform to speak up about politics.
Right.
By a long shot. And so you have all of these guys, mostly who are addicted to their toxic masculinity and cannot accept it or reflect upon it. But you have all of these guys who love sports, who think of sports as their bastion, their hiding place for their toxic masculinity, where sure. they can watch two NHL players, you know, drop gloves and, you know, oh, that's just part of the game.
I like that. I like that. I like that. Yeah. I like the scrapping. I like the fighting. I like it.
Also.
Yeah. Hey, dude, we're toxic male masculine people. I get it. We're there. We're trying to learn. So I'm just saying I'm hanging on to that last part. I don't mind a good hockey fight. Go ahead. Continue. Well,
but yeah, so I'm just, you have all of these misperceptions that sports is this bastion for toxic masculinity and, you know, protest doesn't belong in sports, but we've had protest in sports for about a century. Like, you know, you look at the Olympic Games, which is a primary example. Unfortunately, the Olympic Games is now all about corruption and corporate greed and all sorts of grift and all of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you think back to 1968, John Carlos and
yeah, anyway, I know who you're talking about, the two runners that put their fists in the air. Yeah, I can't, I know John.
One of the most enduring images from any Olympic Games ever is that photograph. And so when we sit there and we have, you know, you have Jackie Robinson when he broke the color barrier and what a huge deal that was and all of the racism that he faced continuously from fellow players, like he was being body slammed at first base by idiot racist baseball players who weighed 200 pounds. But you just, when I hear people bitching and moaning about how sports is now ruined by protest, it's really, truthfully, it's these people who, again, are afraid to look inside themselves or check themselves or notice their own biases towards whatever their politics are or their inherent biases. Well, I'm, you know, middle American white guy, you know, what does it matter to me whether or not Black people can't walk down the street without being stopped by cops and suspicious? Like,
that's how people feel, dude. That I'm telling you, that's how people feel. People, white guys, I know I've had these conversations with them, and much like Todd was talking about on Facebook, where you just kind of defriend or defollow. I've had these conversations with guys on Facebook or guys in person who are like, listen, I'm white. I live in Toronto. Who cares? Guys have said that. Listen, I got a good job. I make a lot of money. I'm not involved in this. Why would I be part of that? Why? And I'm not telling, and it wasn't a conversation where I said, dude, you got to get out there. You got to be active. You got to go, you know, be a proponent of the Black lives. We're proponent of Black lives here. We're not a proponent of, I'm not a proponent of the movement. I'm a proponent of the movement. I'm not a proponent of the organization. I'm a proponent of Black lives. I want equality across the fucking board. And when I have my friends of mine coming up to me, this is in real time, Todd. Like, I'm at a meeting with three guys last Friday, like a meeting where you're talking about, and you're thinking about doing business with certain people. And I'm at this meeting, and I said, and we were talking about the Jacob Blake shooting, and this guy says, I said, it's just fucking insanity. Like, it just never ends. It's always, it's always so fucking aggressive, whether it's George Floyd, whether it's Jacob Blake, like the extremity of the damage and the torture that's done to some people, specifically black people. And his words were, I live in Toronto. I make good money. It's not my fight. I'm not interested in it. And that was his way of saying, I don't want to have this discussion. Right. That's his way of saying this is too deep for me. This is too much for me to figure out. And I think that's why we're here, is because, you know, when you and you talk about sports reaching huge audiences and remaining important, that they are legitimate in your article. If you haven't read it, it's a tremendous piece by Abby at DeanBlundell.com, The Politics of Pro Sport. And what we've forgotten is that each one of these guys, like Colin Kaepernick, ruined his fucking life over this whole thing, ruined his professional life because he was tired of black people getting shot. What is not to like about that? What's not to be a proponent of? Getting back to what we talked about, how anybody on Facebook, Todd, can have a difference of opinion, opinion that this is racist and that we live in a very systematically racist society.
I think it's very telling,
yeah,
when these people will come out and they will say, just do your job, just throw the football, or, you know, just run that mile, or whatever it is. Similarly, people would say the same things about celebrities, mm-hmm, like actors and actresses, when they would, you know, obviously Hollywood it trends very left, so you have the right wing coming out, how dare you, you know. And of course, when Kid Rock comes out or Ted Nugent comes out and he's like, Trump is the best, they're like, way to go, that's extra exposure for us. And so,
yeah, they look at it like it's a marketing campaign. And it was funny because Todd put up a Ted Nugent post yesterday. It was at DeanBlundell.com, and it's at Toddcast Podcast and ToddHancock.com. But I was shocked you put the Ted Nugent thing up. I don't care. I was just shocked that you put up the fact that he's got a podcast coming out.
Why were you shocked about that?
Just that you gave him press. I don't care. I'm not a Ted Nugent fan. I just thought it was great, because shocked in a good way, because I believe we're in a marketplace of ideas. I think that you should be able to share your ideas, and he's got a difference of opinion. But yeah. I was shocked that, I'm not shocked. Shocked's a bad word. I need to stop using shocked. Shocked. I was shocked. I would say I was surprised at the wide berth of what you cover based on how you feel. I really was. I thought it was great, though.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't agree with the guy's politics. But knowing that, you know, Ted Nugent is a fucking rocker. He has some great tunes. And I know that my followers, and probably your followers, know him in that regard. They may not know his politics. They may not follow him in that regard.
Right.
And I just thought, you know, this is maybe something that somebody that follows me would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly controversial. He doesn't hold back his opinions.
Did you get tagged in that? Like, did anybody at you over the whole thing say, why the fuck are you posting? Because I got a couple of tweets from people saying, why the fuck are you posting stuff about Ted Nugent? I'm like, marketplace of ideas, douchebag. I can do what I want. It's mine. It's ours. I can do what I want.
Yeah, no, I haven't, you know, a few people have liked the tweets or whatever, but I haven't had anybody specifically saying, like, what the fuck, bro? Why would you post that?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't like it, then don't read it. Like, that's fine, man. It took me, you know, a few minutes to find a couple of his podcasts, throw it up online. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying I support him in his political beliefs. In fact, if anything, he's a fucking knuckle dragger, you know,
yeah,
at the highest degree. But his podcast is interesting.
Yeah. And you know what? This is where we are, right, Abby? Like, it's us against them or them against us. And I had this fucking guy, and it was another part of my week, which sucked because I moved all week. And I went and lived with my parents for a week because I had to, between houses. And I moved. Anyway, long story short, I'm really, really excited for mature living. Really excited for the mature living situation because my parents live in a mature living facility, like an area on a golf course, and it's my speed. Nobody talks back to anybody. All the vehicles are electric. There's no noise whatsoever. And on top of it, the great part is your lawn gets mowed like every fourth day by a whole bunch of people. So you don't have to do it. But I was so happy in this mature living facility, and I'm sitting there running through. Go ahead. You can take that out, Sean. Or yeah, I know you got to do that. And I'm sitting there running through these things in my mind. As I'm in this mature living facility, and I'm thinking about my future, and I'm thinking about, you know, the past and where we've gone and where we've come from, I actually just thought for a second, wow, if I move to one of these places, I never have to interact with any assholes again, like ever. Right? Because
I mean, that's probably not true.
No, it is. It's totally true. My dad doesn't leave the place.
Yeah, but doesn't he get telemarketer calls still? I'm sure he
does. No, they've got that Roboblock, so they don't even get any of that. My mom plays like fucking 80 games of bridge a day. They got Roboblock. They have 15 cups of tea in the morning, golf 18 in the afternoon. They come home and have a quinoa salad, and then they pass out asleep in front of Rachel Maddow. That's what they do every day, and I'm like, not bad. I like Rachel Maddow. I like chickpea stew. I like all the stuff that they do. I really do. But what was apparent to me when I was there is that, you know, when we sit and go through the where we've come from and where we're going at the age of 50, you know, I don't have the energy to hate anything that much in my life anymore. That was the nice part about being around those people, is nobody hates when they're fucking 100. They're like, I got a few weeks left at best. Let's try and make the most out of this. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, well, no, not personally, because I'm only 35, so I hate lots of things.
Yeah, but I don't have the energy. Todd, I don't know, you're the same. I don't have the fucking energy to hate. Like, I'll just defriend you and move on.
I feel the exact same way, man. I have no time, no energy for that sort of shit. And it just gets, my fuse gets shorter and shorter every year.
So do you stay out of it? Like, that's the thing, right? I see the way that these people live, my parents, and I see the, you know, I'm 47 and my wheels are turning, and I'm thinking, you know, at this point, it's not that I don't want to get involved, like watching even guys with Antifa or guys, you know, that go and protesters. This is our way of protesting. We do this, but the protesting, it's like, that is so much fucking work. That is so much work for a lot of those people just to get angry, but protesting on either side of it, right? Whether or not you're part of the Trump train or whether or not you're part of the resistance. Like, I don't know. I've never liked anything in my life that much. Nothing. So I love the idea that people get a chance to protest. But I mean, you know, at this stage of my life, it just seems like a lot of work. That's all.
I'll throw something out there.
Please.
That sounds like a bit of a white male opinion.
You think so?
Just because, I mean, yeah.
Todd's fucking shaking his head.
It goes back to the idea that you were talking with some of, you know, some of your friends or not friends, colleagues, whomever, where they're basically like, this is not my fight, so I'm not getting involved. And that's part of, you know, a lot of white males just have privilege anyway. And so a lot of it is not their fight, or they say, oh, I just don't have the energy. And so, me, I have a bit more of an activist personality. I don't get out there for every single march, but,
right.
You know, it's...
Well, I'm not even saying about the march, though. No, I'm not even saying about the march. I'm saying about, like, so this week, case in point, this week, I posted a story about the Kenosha killer being a white supremacist, which he was, right? We all agree?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Are we talking about the cops or are we talking about Kyle Rittenhouse?
No. We're talking about Kyle Rittenhouse, the guy that shot the people at the protest. Yes. The white kid, the 17-year-old. Yeah, and was waving to cops after shooting people. Yeah, that guy, the white supremacist. Yeah. So I called him a white supremacist. So this week, and it was fucking, this is what I'm saying. I don't have enough energy to get on these hate bandwagons that everybody's on, where they're getting after each other on Twitter and they're shitting on each other. So this week, it was a terrific week for us on Twitter. Because of our perspective, we got, I would say, our website alone, we usually get about 10 to 15,000 page views a day. I think yesterday we had 60,000 because there was a woman named Michelle Malkin. Michelle Malkin is a journalist, and she's got 2.5 million followers. So she's big time. Like, she's probably got all kinds of shit to do. She's probably got a pool. She's probably really wealthy. She probably should be cleaning the pool. She's probably got some type of high hypoallergenic dog that she should be, you know, like, she's probably got lots of wonderful things in her life. She put me on a list of people like Lawrence Tribe, who's a Harvard Law professor, Ayanna Pressley, who's a congressman, on a list of 20 different people who were smearing Kyle Rittenhouse for being a white supremacist. And this woman spent the entire fucking day doing it on Twitter. Like, it was, and you should check the list out. I'm going to post it today at deanblundell.com. I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to be an activist here. I don't have the energy to hate like that. That's what I'm saying. I don't have the energy to go, oh, you're wrong and here's why. Or you're terrible and here's why. I'll say my piece and get the fuck out. But what I'm not going to do is engage in a Twitter argument with people that are telling me it's not okay. It's not okay to advocate on behalf of a black man who got shot 7 times in the back. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Does that make more sense? Is that better explained? Because for a second, I did sound like an old white douchebag, didn't I?
No, I never said that.
That's what you said. That's what it meant.
It's a position of privilege, I think, that allows some people to say, oh, I just don't have the energy.
Right.
I think that privilege allows that. But I mean, it's funny with Michelle Malkin. She really legitimized your opinion by doing that, eh?
Didn't she? It was incredible.
awkward, unintended consequences, Michelle.
100% appreciate the bump, too. And I sent her a direct message and I said, thanks for all the mentions. And like, you had 2.2 million people. I got like 70,000. So you really did me a great big favor. Also, go fuck yourself. And I don't know if that was strong, but I felt like I needed to slide that in at the end because I can never be fully nice.
No. Well, some people don't deserve it, so.
I just can't be fully nice. I don't know why. And it's a problem that I have, like, when things get serious, too, in these conversations. Do you guys do this where you crack a joke when things get serious? Because you're like, oh, this is too much for me. I can't have a serious conversation for more than 3 minutes.
I've definitely done that. I think I did that on this call.
Did you really? To lighten it up? How did we pandemic? There's another question. We're through a couple of things. I want to know how we pandemic. Are we different? Are you guys any different than you were before I talked to you during the pandemic, Todd? Are you still the same? Easy breezy, lemon squeezy? Because you've always been like that.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think we talked right at the very start of COVID and stuff, and I was, you know, rightfully so, pretty freaked out. I think everybody was, and I'm probably back to 80% of pre-COVID. I feel pretty comfortable with how life is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of those guys that wears a mask every time I go indoors. You want to call me a sheep? I don't give a fuck, you idiot. So yeah, I mean, last night I went to a buddy's place. He's part of my bubble. He has a bunch of kids.
Are you sticking to the bubble too? Like, have you, you know, a lot of people say they're part of each other's bubble and they're not sticking to the bubble. They're like, they're bubble skiing. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm sticking to a bubble, but I'm also, you know, I have kids, right? So now suddenly they're going back to school in a week and a half or whatever. And suddenly now my bubble is 60 fucking people again. So at that point, it's like, well, you got to kind of live your life and not be scared. You can't live in fear. So if that's what I'm stepping into is a bubble of 60 people, fuck it. That's life then, I guess. And I'm moving on and, you know, hopefully I don't catch it or my kids don't, or I don't give it to somebody. So yeah, you know, I'm feeling okay about how life is. Obviously I would love for it to go back to where it was before, but who knows if that's even going to happen.
Abby?
60 is low too, right? Because obviously your kids are going to go outside at recess at school. So
totally. And I'm expecting them to trade masks and shit, you know.
Do they get all day school in Vancouver? Like, for kids, or are they going to school for the whole day?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah.
How old are your kids, if you don't mind me asking?
Grade 5, grade 3.
Grade 5, grade 3. So are they masking? Do they have to wear a mask when they're at school all day?
I think that there's going to be a portion of it needs to be. I think it just kind of depends.
What portion?
And they're going to try to do a lot of outside learning is what I'm reading from the school boards and stuff, right?
Oh, they're going to do.
Which is great.
So they're going to be teaching outside to start the year? Like under tents? Well, are they teaching under tents?
I don't know that it's all outside, but I like the idea of that, though.
Is it a school yurt? Is it a yurt? Is some it... type of tent? Mongolian tent?
That's like a circus tent, Dean. Everybody pile in.
But I'm fucking, like, I've got kids that are older, right? I got one grade 12. I got one in university, one grade 12, one grade going into grade 9. And they're half days, and I'm worried about it. Half days, and I'm worried about it because it's like nobody seems, and you watch what's happening in the States, and Georgia shuts down schools after 2 days because like 100,000 kids got infected, and you're going, oh my God, are we going to be fucking able to do this up here? Like, that's my concern. My concern is those kids coming back and giving us something, or, you know, super spreader events at school where some kid doesn't wear a mask and all of a sudden he's at Abby's house or she selling like Girl Guide cookies, and she hands you the Girl Guide cookies and it's covered in COVID, and then Abby eats a cookie and then she's coughing and then she goes, you know, like, this is how it happens. I could be paranoid, but this is how it happens.
Well, that's how it happens. And also, you know, as a parent sending your kids back, it's like, okay, so what happens if the teacher gets COVID? Like, so do the 60 kid bubble, like, do all of those students need to now go home and quarantine for 14 days?
Yeah, they do.
You know what I mean? Like, well, do they bring in a part-time studies teacher to replace the teacher that had COVID? And like, there's so many questions. I think that personally, I think that it's going to, they'll be back in school for like a week or two.
Yeah.
They're going to go, holy fuck, this was a really bad idea. And it's going to go back to home learning again.
I agree.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Oh, I totally 100% agree. It's going to be one of those real, real cool false starts where they're like, everybody back to school. And we all bought uniforms for our kids the other day. And I'm like, you guys aren't going to wear those all year. Guaranteed.
Right.
You're going to go back for 2 weeks.
You can sort of see something similar happening with like flights and stuff too. People are coming out and they're saying, the science says that, you know, you're not spreading germs when you get on a flight because of the way that air circulates in a plane. And all of that is very well and good, but you're actually still transmitting COVID across international borders because even if other people on your flight are not getting COVID, if you get off a flight and you don't do the 2 weeks of like self-quarantine that people are saying you still have to do, you know, you walk down the street in Toronto after getting off a flight at Pearson and you're giving that COVID to 8 people or whatever it is, and it spreads from there. So no, it's not spreading on a plane, but that doesn't mean you heal from COVID during your international flight, so you can't give it to anybody once you get here.
Bingo. Bingo. And that's the thing, is that nobody, we've never done this before, so we don't have any data. So what we do is we just try shit, right? Oh, we'll try going back to school. Oh, well, try going to the grocery store. Yeah. And then today, and I laughed my ass off. Today, Dr. Teresa Tam, did you guys see this story about Dr. Teresa Tam? Canada's chief medical officer, Todd Abbey. Todd, you might like this or not. I loved it. I thought the idea was brilliant. She's now telling people that they need to wear masks when they have sex.
You're having sex. Yeah.
Wear some masks when you have some sex. I could be wrong, but dude, that might be the greatest idea I've heard all year long.
Well, I mean, it's no better, no worse than the BC BC Health Minister Bonnie, or not minister, sorry, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry,
you're telling people to stick their dicks in a glory hole. Idea. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, suck a dick, everybody.
Suck a dick. That's what they're saying. So they're saying glory holes are cool. Like let me just back up here for a sec. I know we're in a pandemic, but how far have we come where we've gone that far backwards? We're like, okay, glory holes my entire life have been a terrible idea. My dad told me, he said, you never know what's on the other side of those. So just, you know, keep in your pants. And then on top of that, we've got like a medical professional the biggest medical professional of Canada saying, not only does she say you got to wear a mask, and I'm reading here, sexual intimacy should be done without kissing. Any intimate contact from face to face or other facial areas. And this is the fun part. And you should always wear a mask when having intercourse. That's what she's saying. So I was thinking, and this is just me, is that because he's getting like Maxime Bernier shit on. It's like, stay out of our bedrooms. And I'm like, whatever, man. She's just being fun. But people don't look at the opportunities. Like, you could do Darth Pelvic Invader. You could wear the mask. You could play like a little surgery role playing, good nurse, bad doctor thing, right? You could do all that stuff. Plus, can we, what do you got there?
You're one of those masks.
Yeah. You could get a sloth Goonies mask and you could put it on your face.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys. There's nothing more attractive, is there? Nothing more attractive than that mask. That's my favorite one. But I would love to get your, because listen, it's not, I'm not going to ask you guys for your sexual details, but I say seems to kill the mood. Maybe saying, hang on, I got to throw on a mask.
Don't kiss me.
Yeah.
Let me put on this mask real quick,
which Todd, listen, we're guys. That's not a bad thing, right? Like, yeah. I'm not a big kisser, never been interested in kissing. It just seems like it's a waste of time.
This has to be for people that are dating. Like, she's
like
not,
going
she's
out there dating other people.
Yeah, she's not meaning that I should wear a fucking mask when I'm having sex with my wife.
Yeah, she is. She is. That's what she's saying. Yes, she is. I can't find it anywhere where she's talking about casual relationships. Like, I don't think she's talking.
I think what she's doing is trying not to make it like slut shaming in a sense by specifying maybe that it is for people who are starting new relationships or dating casually.
I don't understand, Abby. Committing. I understand. You got to back up. What's the slut shaming portion of that? Help me understand.
Just the idea that, like, if she were to say, look, if you're in casual relationships or if you're like, if you are not dating one person or whatever it is, you know, that is more problematic from a PR standpoint for the government of Canada than just saying, hey, wear masks when you have sex.
Oh, so what she was doing is trying to like use kid gloves when she was talking to people who were out there just banging and not really caring about who they're banging, right?
People who've been inside for 6 months and need to get out, essentially, in every sense of the word.
Oh, I see. I get it. That makes more sense now. Yeah, but it doesn't, I mean, you know what? I thought, you know, I'm a positive thinker, so I wasn't thinking of any of this stuff. I was thinking in terms of, you know, foreplay's that's gone.
I mean, not everybody went through COVID with a significant other, right? So some people will be getting into brand new relationships with people that they say you shouldn't, you know, they've said to, like, oh, when you are expanding your circle, don't expand it to a new sexual partner. There was, you know, some people saying maybe you should only have sex with your exes, and that is, you know.
No.
Not for
exactly.
You.
So there's just been a whole bunch of stuff about once somebody's kind of in your bubble, they're in your bubble. And that would obviously include husbands and wives and all of that. And
Todd?
It's just common sense, right? It sounds funny. It's a great headline.
First of all, I don't believe any of that. And the reason why is because I think women aren't like men, or they're like men, but they just don't want to admit it. Like, I don't know any woman that didn't read that thing and go, oh my God, thank God, I don't have to give a blowjob. Like, two of my friends called me yesterday, told me about this. And one of them was a female. And she's like, this is awesome. I no longer have to, like, have my husband doesn't have to chase me around now for a BJ. And I'm like, well, it's good, I guess, right? It's not a bad thing. If that's what its life is like in your house, your husband just continually chasing you around the house for something, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Here's a Brad Pitt mask. Wear that.
Do you got a Brad Pitt mask? I'd take a Brad Pitt mask if I could. Anyway, I'm back in business. Can you guys hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, good. Just making sure. I had to switch headphones midstream because those ones cacked. Yeah, I don't have any problems with it. I just wouldn't, you know. I'm not gonna wear one.
Yeah, I know. Won't be wearing a mask when I'm having sex with my wife. That's not happening.
Unless it's like a Bane mask from Batman. You know what I mean? This is one of those and it's part of the deal. I don't know, man. I feel like I'm being overly negative. You know, I feel like this whole thing has made me overly negative because it's like we talked about how we pandemic. We talked to Todd about how you pandemic. And I don't know if you're overly negative, Abby. I feel like my entire thing has gone from like my entire life has gone from like one in March, like March 14th of last year. It was like everything was good and then everything stopped. And now we're trying to figure everything out. But I didn't have any like major issues in my life over the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I know a lot of people did.
Yeah. I mean, I have had an interesting pandemic. I mean, obviously, it's been kind of just, it's been quiet and...
And your dad passed away.
Yeah, well, exactly. Mm-hmm. That was the worst thing that, you know, probably has happened to me in a long time.
Like your life?
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
I just, if ever to really think of it. Yeah. So my dad died back in June and that was really sort of shocking for all of us, my sisters and I. And that has definitely added a layer, I think. Sorry, I might start crying.
Oh, it's okay.
To the pandemic that I didn't see coming. I wasn't expecting, and definitely made things sort of harder through the summer. Just such beautiful days, but you just wake up and you just kind of want to go back to bed sometimes. I'm sorry, I'm like totally crying.
Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry at all. I wanted to talk about this because you handled your father's passing beautifully.
Wow, thank you.
I disagree. Well, no, you did. Publicly, you did. And you and I have talked privately about this, but I thought you handled it beautifully. And it was one of those things you watch someone go through from afar that tells you the kind of person that you are. And how you handled it was with humor, honesty, and genuine perspective on what was actually happening to you in real time and what was going on with your family. And you throw that in a pandemic and it fucking blows.
I mean, the fact that like he didn't die of COVID, he had a massive stroke, right? But because of the pandemic, and I'm sure like there's lots of people probably who will listen to this who will be able to relate to just if you've had any family members or friends going through any health issues during the pandemic, you can't visit them in hospital without, I mean, at first you couldn't visit people at all. And then, you know, they started easing those restrictions. But my sister and I have two sisters and I have one that's in Toronto and I have one that's out here.
And you have family, so, your family's from London. That's where you're from. London, Ontario, right?
London, Ontario originally. Right. Yeah. So it was hard because my one sister and I couldn't conceivably, because it all happened so quickly when he passed, and making the decision to sort of turn off the machine. And hospitals still in June had their 2-week quarantine. If you're coming from out of province, like they won't let you in the hospital doors. So there was no time. There was no opportunity for her. She and I to even really think about flying to Ontario for this. So we watched our dad die on Skype. Like, it's just, not ever really gonna sort of forget that. Like, that sucks. It's awful. And that is kind of some of the realities of COVID. The pandemic. Yep. That have been really, I guess, tough. And we haven't been able to obviously gather people together in any significant numbers to honor him in any way. So there's still kind of this like open wound, if you will, about the fact that he's gone and we haven't been able to really put him to rest, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need closure, hey?
And that, yeah, like everybody kind of needs something like that. So it's trying to find closure in other ways or just get through the day, and like little things will happen,
right.
Like stupid little things. Like I walked past one of the SkyTrain stations and started to cry because it made me remember my dad. Like, that's just, yeah, everything kind of drop of a hat, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know what's going to trigger you or what it'll be like. Sorry, I'm.
You stop. Can you stop? Sorry. Can you stop saying sorry? Your face is, has your face has water in it.
My face is melting.
Stop saying sorry. Please, the reason why I want to talk about it is because the way you handled it, and even just talking about it now, is reminiscent of how you handled it on Twitter and publicly. And I, you said something on Twitter, and I'm like, fuck, she is so smart, and like so simple in the way you handle it. You said, okay, for everybody that's asking me how I'm doing right now, just know the answer's probably terrible. Like how are you supposed, when someone, and that's why I'm bad with death. Like I'm very, very, very bad with death. I've had people pass away and just not be able to go to the funeral. I was talking to my friend John Derringer about it the other day, cause we had a mutual friend that passed. I'm like, did you go? He's like, yeah, but just for a bit. And I'm like, yeah, no, me too. I didn't. And so in that understanding that, I wanted to talk about this because what you said was like, it was brilliant, and it was, and it kind of gave me some perspective, because I know I sent you a text and you're getting bombarded with people, but you just said, basically, stop asking me how I'm doing. Like the answer, you know how I'm doing. I mean, this is, I'm doing terribly. This is a terrible thing from all angles. And now you explain it, where you can't have a funeral and you can't, you know, properly honor the memory of your father, and you can't get together and you didn't see him. I didn't know about the Skype part. And I'm like, Jesus, how did you answer those people? Like I'm trying to learn from you. How do you answer those people? What do you say to those people?
I mean, honestly, one of the things, if I don't feel like a person is going to respond well to honesty, which is, how do you think I'm doing? Or I'm doing terrible, because a lot of people ask you that question and they expect or hope that your answer is going to be easy and you're going to say, oh, I'm okay. You know, I find that a lot of people will ask you that question and they're not actually prepared for the follow-up of, oh, I'm not doing well.
They don't want you to actually answer the question though, right? Like that's the thing, is it they ask you the question and then they're like, oh, I hope she doesn't answer it honestly, because that would suck.
It's like, well, sometimes you do, you get that sense that people are like asking to be nice, but they're also expecting that you're going to be able to say, I'm healing, you know, and just so, and I was getting a ton of texts from, you know, a ton of people, which is awesome. You know, you feel the love, but at the same time, you're like, I don't want to talk right now. Like everything is gray and weird. And the colors of my life are just like, right now. So if you can't handle me right now, which is like my worst, you know, then I can't. So I mean, a lot of people, I just started ignoring the text, and I feel bad about that. Like ignoring text is wrong.
Well, that's why I wanted you to talk about it, because now you can tell all those people that this is why I ignored them. Don't feel terrible. You were
feel bad about ignoring.
Yeah.
Oh, and well, I've been in touch with those people, I mean, since, and I don't ignore a text for too long, but.
Abby, is that an easier question to get from somebody that you know well, as opposed to just somebody random on Twitter or something?
Oh, for sure. Like, and there are people on Twitter that are, you know, randomly, like they kind of know you, right? So they offer what they think is going to help you. And of course, they don't know you at all. And it doesn't help at all. So you're just kind of like, thanks. But, you know, obviously, yeah, like I've got my closest friends who know me well enough to know that I'm always going to be honest and you know, appreciate and respect that about me, obviously, because they're still my friends and they've known me for 20 plus years. So those people, absolutely, yeah, you can always say to them, exactly how you're feeling, and you know that they're going to understand and support it. And then just, but it's just everyone you don't necessarily know, and you're not, you do kind of shut yourself away and close yourself off when something like this happens, and you rely really heavily on the people who you know are going through exactly what you're going through. So actually the people I was always kind of relying on the most in the last few months were my mom and my sisters, because obviously they understand, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, inadvertently brings you together, I guess, in some capacity,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And that
yeah, that's
it's a good way to describe it. You know, it's a good way to look at part of, you know, if anybody's lost anybody unexpectedly, because that's an unexpected, like your father has a stroke and he passes away, it's very unexpected. If you've lost someone close to you, a family member unexpectedly, it's difficult to process, because it's just like 1 second they're not there, right? And that part of your life that you had with that person just stops. It's like there's a silence. And it's hard to process, but processing it when you can't go to the hospital, can't be in the hospital, can't do all of those things, is not fair, you know, and it's not fair to you, and it's not fair to your mom, and it's not fair to your sister, and it's just unfair. And unfortunately, that's the reality that we're in. And watching, again, I feel like I'm buttering you up, but watching how you're dealing with it even now as we talk about it, and watching how you deal with it socially, watching how you dealt with it with other people, you know, it also had a little bit of fuck you to it. You know what I mean? It had a little bit of you in there. And I'm like, this is the crazy part of our existence. Is it, we get to a point where, you know, serious shit starts to happen, like the pandemic, and then, you know, whether you've lost somebody or a relationship has ended and how it ended, and you're trying to figure out life. And the amazing part to me about all of this is that, you know, these are just parts of our journey, right? You know, they're just little pieces of our journey. They're big pieces when it's a family member and someone close, and life changes drastically because, you know, you've lost someone in your life, and then you got to change direction. And everybody does when you lose someone that's close to you. But it's amazing to learn how capable we are and how resilient we are as fucking people. Like, I had no idea this pandemic was going to last this long. I had no idea. I'm sure you had no idea all these things were going to happen to you. But the resilience that I see in you, and the resilience I see in guys like Todd, who when I first started talking to Todd, the pandemic blew our minds. We're like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But we're much more capable of things as people than we ever thought we fucking were. I used to think I was a useless load after I quit working on the radio. I didn't want to do anything. And fuck, you know what? The amazing part about life is that we are not only just incredibly capable people, we're the only thing that stands in our way from our own mental health sometimes. But I think the frustrating part is for a lot of people is that we don't look at these ups and downs as normal. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't look at these as, I think they're fucking totally normal. I think, you know, bottoming out is everybody's best excuse to go somewhere in life. But I couldn't address the podcast today without talking to you about, you know, your situation, because you handled it so well, and you continue to, and I know you probably don't think you are. That's the other thing.
I have good days, bad days, and things like that. It's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That's okay. I thought I'd end with some happy stuff, if that's okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Happy stuff?
Well, you know, we got heavy. We talked racism. Sean, you ready? You got this? You got this thing back at the... Yeah. We talked racism. We talked police brutality, protesting through sports. It's been a heavy show. We've talked the passing of people, loved ones, and how we've dealt with all that. In Lincoln, Nebraska, the other day, and I you know, you town hall meetings where people are fighting about masks were there. But I want you to meet Anders Christensen. This guy is from Lincoln, Nebraska. He's at a town hall meeting. We've seen all the fights. We've seen all that other stuff. And I loved what this guy had to say, because sometimes there's a guy who needs to be that guy for that time. Sometimes there's a human being, not guy, sometimes there's a human being who redefines what it is to stand up and to take a stand for what he truly believes in. And we don't see that very often. We're seeing it when it comes to race relations. We're seeing it when it comes to a few other things, the thin blue line, if you will. But we're not seeing it when it comes to something that we all know and love. We're not seeing the same fervor, the same interest, the same anger when it comes to... Is that it? I think this is just an ad. Oh, it's an ad. But I want you to watch this video when it comes up. There's a video of a fellow who's just had it up to here. You got it? Oh, it's just rolling through the thing? Hey, boys, girls, you get to enjoy this whole thing with us. This is a part about me that I could care less anymore. It's okay. We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there, buddy. This is our first one, Sean. Sean's producing. Sean Sargent. He's the greatest. He's back at the studio producing. We're just getting through this craft beer commercial with a nice family getting shit-faced here. Having some fries. Yeah, it's
not easy to do this when I'm controlling a computer from, you know,
somewhere else. Yeah, I just had enough of this guy in the suit. Like, I have no desire to see him anymore. And a suit and a hat. Who wears a fucking suit and a ball cap? Here we go. Have a listen.
I won't take up too much of your time here. My name is Andrew Christensen. I live at 1212 Twin Ridge Road. Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning and treating things as though they're normal. I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... Excuse me, I'm trying to...
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sure. Come on. I propose that we as a city remove the name Boneless Wings from our menus and from our hearts. These are our reasons why. Number one, nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing. Number two, boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. And then number three, we need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them that the wing of a chicken is from a chicken, and it's delicious. I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash. We can take these steps and show the country that where we stand and that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long. And we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Hold it down.
I would like to just comment here. For the record, that's my son.
I didn't get to hear that clip. What Anders was saying was he's really fucking sick and tired of people passing off. And this has been a problem for me for a long time. Inside, not outside, not outwardly. It's been an inside thing where you go to a restaurant, we got boneless chicken wings. I'm like, they're not fucking chicken wings. If they're not bone, it's a chicken nugget. Guy's like, no, it's not. And this guy wants the city of Lincoln, Nebraska to stop calling boneless chicken wings. They're fucking nuggets. Todd, you first.
Yeah, I mean, like, truly addressing the key issues in today's society.
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter / boneless chicken wings. Wow.
I needed that, though. Abby, chicken wing. Is it, if it boneless, is it still a chicken wing or is it a nugget?
Nugget.
I mean, honestly, like, this is not something that I care about. I definitely love grammar. And as a writer, I like calling things what they are.
Yeah.
But this is not something that I've put any thought in whatsoever. Well, clearly,
this is why I'm asking. This is why I'm asking you, though. You have to have an opinion on it. That's why I asked. Is it?
I just. I mean, I'll probably just continue to call them boneless chicken wings because that's.
But they're not, Abby. There's no, no, there's no bone in the wing. That's the thing. Is
no, but when I think of a nugget, I think of this like those flat, nasty non-meat things from McDonald's, right? Like that's my nugget association.
That's my so nugget for me, association.
It's hard for me because I quality chicken than that,
yeah,
which is debatably chicken. You know, I think things that are slightly better quality chicken deserve to be called something better than a nug.
Yeah, but I don't call them nugs. You can call them nuggets. Okay, well, they call gold nuggets gold nuggets. Do you want them to call them gold wings?
Well, I mean, a gold nugget is a gold nugget.
Right, but yeah, chicken nuggets, chicken nuggets, just a piece. That's what I'm saying. It's not a wing, and I'm not offended by them. I'm just offended by the fact that people call them chicken wings instead of chicken nuggets. And much like many things in my life, my eyes were open to that guy's dissertation on the city of Lincoln, Nebraska, banning people calling nuggets wings. Because then we're talking, are we talking strips, chicken fingers? What are they?
They're
chicken wings, according to the rest of the world. Those are chicken wings. And so when you go, fuck, I'll take a whole bunch of chicken wings and they bring you nuggets, don't get upset if you're still going to call them boneless wings.
This guy's wasting everyone's time, though.
Yep. No.
He's asking the city of Lincoln, Nebraska to waste money on
bureaucracy. No, he's not. He's asking for clarification on an issue. Todd, what were you going to say? You were going to say something?
I'm just curious if he got banned because of that bullshit.
No, they clapped. At the end of the clip, you can hear people going, yeah, that's been bugging me for a long time. I really wanted to know, like, why are you calling nuggets wings?
Pressing issues in America right now.
God bless the USA. Abby, thank you for doing this. Todd Hancock, of course, you can get Abby Simpson. You were great today. You were freaking out the other day. We were talking about it on the phone. You were awesome. And you look the same.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're just as cool in person as you are on the phone or on Twitter.
Aww.
Yeah.
You guys are so fun.
Maybe even cooler. Abby, the tweet on Twitter is where you can find her. Even cooler. Check out her Pro Sports Daily. You're much cooler in person because
I'm not very cool, so it's a low bar.
No, you're very, very cool because I could see your reactions. Now you're just a normal human being who's really smart. I like that. Yeah, it's cool.
Who makes weird faces?
No, you don't. You don't make weird faces. Those are pensive. That's a pensive face. Todd Hancock at Toddcast Podcast on Twitter, and of course toddhancock.com. He is without question one of Canada's biggest music bloggers, entertainment bloggers, but more than that, he's also got a fucking heart of gold, and he's on the mark, and he doesn't miss very often at all, and I appreciate you. So check out. Who do you got on the podcast this week, by the way? Are you taking a break? Taking a pandemic break? Back to school break? You got to look around? You got to check?
Yeah, I mean, give it real quick here.
Yeah, I got lots of time. I got nothing but time. All I got to do is put a ton of shit away in my new apartment.
Yeah.
House.
Yeah. Okay, I've
not
got
a ton of house.
Anti-Flag singer Justin Sane,
yep.
Former Blue Jackets coach and GM Doug McLean.
You got McLean on the show?
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Jane's Addiction drummer Stephen Perkins is coming up. Grant Fuhr.
Coco.
Brent Sopel.
Yeah.
Just kind of looking.
He's
here.
Like a Vancouver staple, isn't he, Brent Sopel?
Soaps is awesome. Yeah. AWOL Nation singer Aaron Bruno.
He's awesome too.
I'm trying to get Sebastian Bach. I probably based on this podcast, I'll probably never get Ted Nugent on.
Sorry, dude. Sorry, I'm really sorry.
He's totally fine by me.
I don't agree with his politics. I thought he's such a fucking hot iron right now. I was shocked that you wrote a story about him. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, his politics. I mean, he's just to me completely out to lunch. He's a little field,
but he's not going. Podcast. But he's not going on your podcast anytime soon, no.
Not anytime soon if he heard this one.
Go to toddhancock.com for more information, or, of course, deanblundell.com. But check out Todd's podcast. Subscribe. Wonderful man and great. One of the best interviewers, by the way. He's a far better interviewer than I am. I'm a shit interviewer. You're the best.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're very good. Except you always sneak in the one question about aliens. Do you believe aliens exist? Like, I'm like, why?
I'm so personally enthralled with that stuff. Like, I think that aliens live among us present day.
Yeah.
So it makes me like, Abby, do you think that aliens have visited us?
I'm shocked.
Do I think that aliens live among us right now? I don't know. No, but I'm like fully atheist and I have to see things to believe them. So until I see something, it's hard for me to be like, yeah, I believe it. But I do believe that they are out there. I think that law of averages states that we can't possibly be alone in the universe.
Right.
What, in terms of like intelligent life? In terms of intelligent life or in terms of like there's just like another bug out there that's like on Mars and it's a parasite and so that's life?
Well, I mean, if we evolved, then so can other organisms on other planets, right? So I don't know at what stage they're at, but they're probably going to have to be more advanced than us to actually get a spaceship fast enough.
No, but Todd believes they've been here. If I'm not mistaken, Todd, you believe aliens have been here for a long fucking time. Like you think they're hanging out with us. They look like us, right? Like you, and here's the thing. 5 years ago, I would have said, you're nuts. You need meds. You got to get away from us. That's weird. Now I say, I'm not discounting anything. Nothing.
Right.
Like, how can you at this point of our lives go, there's no chance an alien's going to come swoop down. There's too much evidence that there's some kind of weird shit going on. But I just don't. I much like Abby, I'm not atheist. I'm agnostic. But I choose to believe that there might be something, maybe.
Right.
Right. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I'll never make fun of someone for believing that aliens walk among us.
Yeah.
But you just really believe they're... Can we procreate with these aliens that are walking around in your mind?
Sure.
With a mask on?
Maybe that's how we got Donald Trump in the first place.
With a mask on.
With a mask on? Yeah.
No,
yeah. That's what, if there's alien chicks that came down and because of this new thing, you got to wear a mask for sex in Canada. If there's aliens that came down, I would tell them we've been doing that forever. It's just part of the deal. So I don't have to do the other stuff. Is that bad? Thanks for doing this, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Anytime. Yeah, Todd Hancock, you. Abby Simpson, Vancouver, represent. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you very much for being here. Thanks to everybody for joining the podcast today. Don't forget, you can get us on Twitch. This is our first one, so it's a fucking relax. It's test drive. I'm not making a big deal out of it. I'm not poking holes in this thing. I'm not trying to find ways to get off this boat. I'm trying to find ways to make this boat bigger and include more people and more podcasts and then all over Twitch and in your face on Mob Crush and in your face on Facebook Live. We're in your faces. We're right in your face now. And so, you know, shit's going to happen when you try stuff out. And that's kind of what happened today. And it might happen tomorrow. Who knows? The great part about this is I don't give a shit. You get the gist of what we're saying. Got good people on the program. You can go read about Abby's pro sports and as a protest right now. Right now, you can go look at what Todd's talking about. You can go look at Todd's post on the Ted Nugent thing at deanblundell.com, or you can go to Toddcast, or you can go to, sorry, toddhancock.com as well. This is a lot of different ways you can get shit now. We just don't think that you have to get it from one thing. So there you go. Thanks for doing this, Todd. Thanks for doing this, Abby. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Thanks to our friends at Ed's Fine Imports. EdsFineImports.com. Great clothes. I get all my shit there, all of it, including 34 Heritage jeans. Go buy them today. He's got these Gitch, too, that are like form-fitting. And the great part about the form-fitting jeans, they stretch. They stretch for like, you know, when you stretch or de-stretch. But he's got them. He's also got Gitch. 3 for 1. You get 3. No, that's a lie. I just lied, but it was a mistake. Again, there's going to be mistakes here. You get 4 pairs of Gitch for the price of 3. Buy 1, get 1. Buy 3, get 1 free. That's it. Buy 3, get 1 free. And use promo code GITCH3 right now. You go to Ed's Fine Imports, edsfineimports.com. Ed will make sure that he sends your stuff. If you're not into, you know, going into the store and you're all masky still, which is great, that's fine too. I don't care if you're masky. I do care if you're anti-masky and you're around me because I'm all masky. But if I'm masky, then it doesn't matter if you're anti-masky because I got a mask. Anyway, you can go to Ed's Fine Imports, edsfineimports.com. Envision Digital Solutions right now. Check out Envision Digital Solutions, envision.co. back end, front end, whatever end you need. Absolute digital ninjas and in charge of everything that comes out of our pie holes. So go to envision.co if you are thinking of starting your own website, if you're thinking of trying to leverage your analytics into revenue, do it. envision.co. Thanks to Masterpiece Productions, the official podcast sponsor of DeanBlundell.com. And most importantly, thanks to our new and improved sponsors, our friends over at Twitch and Twitch TV at Dean Blundell. Hashtag Dean Blundell TV after the Twitch. Just put my name in, plus TV, you'll find it. Facebook, and of course, our friends at Blue Microphones. Blue Microphones, the number one broadcasting microphone. I had it backwards for the first few episodes when we were trying it out last week, so I got it frontwards today, which is really good. But it's weird because the logo should be on the display side, but it's not. It's on this side. Do I turn it around? I'm all fucked. But thanks to our friends at Blue Microphones, Blue Headphones, and our friends at Streamlabs. Have a great day, everybody. Have a wonderful time. We'll see you tomorrow with Quezzy Millington, who got royally fucked over by the air. I can't say that part. Quezzy Millington on the next podcast. We'll see you soon. Thanks. Bye.